Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, despite more emphasis being placed on design thinking, innovation, agility, and being product output organized, organizations can't adapt to ideas and get stuck when asked to innovate. Companies have become so engineered to efficiently deliver a product or service that they're so internally focused and are no longer in touch with the customer. Often, they're also no longer agile enough to pivot to providing a customer with what they really need. So how can companies regain their focus on a customer's needs? And what steps do they need to implement to build agility and innovation back into their business model? We get insights from AJ Bolens, chair of the EGN Singapore Marketing Leaders Peer Group. AJ, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Howie. Happy to be here.
So let's first talk about customer centricity and what it means exactly.
Customer centricity is really when an organization puts customers at the heart of everything that they do. Mm. It starts with strategy, and they align their organization around creating that value.
And it's important why, especially today.
We're really going into the age of consumers now. And so consumers have so many different choices. We're looking at customer journeys. There's been a lot of behavioral science and new management theory around customer centricity. And it's becoming more and more important as customers have more options. And a lot of competitors are coming in across different industries and sectors. And so you don't know where your next competitor is going to come from. And so being fiercely aware and passionate about creating value for your customers really is becoming more and more of a differentiator.
I got to say though, AJ, as a layperson, hasn't the customer always been at the center of everything? Shouldn't the customer always be at the center of everything? We're talking about companies having lost sight of this.
Yes, absolutely. And Howie, you're right. I mean, a lot of startups, they are always more customer-centric quite often than the incumbent. And it's because of these large organizations over time, they have lost track of that, and they became very internally focused and very product-focused. Now, the problem is that as they start organizing their strategy around pushing product to market, they lose track of changing needs of their segments, new segments that are arising. And that gives an opportunity space for startups to come in and enter the field. The challenge is, do they revert to the conventional way of running a business and start becoming internally oriented and starting that cycle again? That's the challenge that a lot of organizations face.
Yes, concentrate on your product, push it to market, but the product is for whom? The customer, yes?
Well, that's right. I mean, products ultimately need to create value for customers. But quite often, it's not just products alone that create value. I mean, if you look at iPhone as an example, it's great. And Apple is known as being very innovative. But it's not just the products. Their products come and go. It's really their ecosystem that they've built around with the business model, with iTunes, with the back end, getting developers to create content that they put onto this platform. And it's all of these things coming together that create incredible value for their users. And that model has been copied by Samsung and other Android-based manufacturers. But that's ultimately what products should do, and services and business models. There needs to be alignment across these things to create value for customers. And quite often, large organizations sometimes lose track of that, actually quite often lose track of that. And then they just really focus on their products and extending their product life cycles.
So what now are the typical barriers to customer centricity in these organizations?
Well, Howie, the biggest challenge is how companies approach strategy. And a lot of conventional strategic thinking and tools that we learn in business school are really great, but they're not really suitable for the age of customer centricity. A lot of the management theory that's existing right now are really from the 60s and the 70s, when customer centricity, it didn't really exist. That was the era of products. You create great products and people will buy from you. You build it, they will come. That doesn't really work as much as it did a couple decades ago. So the challenge really is organizations using very conventional approaches to strategy, one. And two, how they structure as an organization. They very rarely structure organizations around customer segments and aligning the organization to create value for those segments. They usually segment themselves by product or by business unit or by geography. These are all very conventional forms of segmentation, but that doesn't really lead towards customer centricity. So that's really the biggest barrier to to customer centricity in organizations.
Sounds like an uphill battle that you're fighting, AJ, to help people innovate their business models, helping them with design thinking. Because do we need to overhaul then the education aspect of things? You were saying that these were things learned in business school from the 60s and the 70s. Hasn't that changed? Doesn't that need to change as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where we have the biggest challenges, is embracing the strong aspects of previous strategy that's there. It's not irrelevant. However, just alone, it's not sufficient enough. There needs to be new ways of thinking that needs to be brought in. I'll give you an example. Blue ocean strategy and business model innovation, these are relatively new business theories that really are much, much more customer centric. And these are new things that have been coming around, and they're still quite new and novel to a lot of organizations. But Howie, you're absolutely right that there needs to be a rethink of how organizations do this. And design thinking is a great innovation process and framework that companies have been training up the last 10 years or so. But I've seen a lot of examples where great service and product ideas have been generated through design thinking that actually couldn't fit into an organization because the journey cut across business units and products. A quick example of that would be in banking. They might design a great experience for signing up for a new bank account, but then when you go to get a credit card, well, that's a different business unit. So if you've thought about a journey for a millennial, for example, to get into banking, and it cuts across these different business units, the question then becomes, okay, well, who's going to run this? Is it going to be our savings and division? Is it going to be the credit card division? This phenomenon happens across all different kinds of industries, manufacturing, healthcare, financial services, any kind of industry. I'm seeing this constant pattern of conventional structures and conventional strategy just really not allowing customer-centric ideas from design thinking to really thrive.
It might then feel like a hard pill to swallow if business model innovation also entails complete organizational restructuring, AJ. Must it be done that way, an overhaul completely? Can we do it step by step, for example?
No, it can be done. I mean, the goal is not to completely disrupt yourself. I think that this idea of completely disrupt yourself, throw away everything you've done, that's not pragmatic. That's not okay. That's not realistic. You need those businesses that are optimized to keep on running. However, existing business models are well suited for your existing customers. You can kind of incrementally tweak it to create more value. But when you want to engage with new segments and new types of customers, quite often, you know, you couldn't do it with your existing business model, or they would have come to you already. So quite often you have to create that new business model to engage and be relevant for these new audiences. But what happens when companies don't pivot? Examples where they really should have is the Kodak moment. You know, Howie, the example of Kodak. We hear that all the time.
Yes.
The argument that I want to make was that they were very innovative. They spent a lot of money. They did a lot of design thinking as well to create digital photography. The problem that they had, Howie, was that this new innovation, it could not fit into their organization. And all of these investments that they couldn't just throw away because they created digital technology, even though they spent $4 billion to develop the technology, they just couldn't find a way to fit this new technology and products into their organization. They didn't have the courage to make that transition. And I know it's really, really difficult. That's an extreme example, but most companies don't need to throw out their whole business model. They can just try to tinker with it. They innovate and prototype. And frankly, you got to test this out with your customers and see if they're willing to go that way. I mean, customers are also notorious for saying that they want everything, but that doesn't mean they're willing to pay for it. And that might not mean that they're willing to change their behaviors. So it's an exploration that organizations need to take, but you have to be very careful before you don't want to dive in. You kind of want to put your toes in slowly to see what's the reception from your customers, if they're willing to accept that new way.
But these days though, AJ, time is of the essence, isn't it? Also because of what's happened this last year and that we're still eyeball deep in it. So to steer this huge tanker, if you will, versus a speedboat of a startup, how then can we do that? So say you were to start helping a company be more customer-centric, where would you start, AJ?
I would really start with how an organization gets insights from customers. I would start reaching out to them more. I would ask them to, run.
Tell me what you want, sort of.
Yeah, I would want to understand from customers and have conversations with them and ask them, what value do we create for you? How do we make your life any better? we know there's products, but products are just a means to an end. What jobs do they really solve for you? What pain points do they alleviate? And where are we doing well in creating value? I'd also like to know, well, where are we falling short? I mean, we'd like to know what that is. That's an opportunity for us to innovate. And I'd also like to know, well, customer, if you're not buying from us and doing business with us, who would you be doing business with? And why would you do business with them? What's your perception of their ability to create value against your key drivers versus us? We'd like to know how we stand against them. And just having that view, Howie, if you were to visualize this and put this in front of an organization, it becomes a common language for everyone across the different silos to say, all right, that's what value looks like. It's not really based on just our products and services. It's everything coming together to be able to align to create that value, and everyone can contribute to that. How do we as an organization do that? Now, that approach is just, it's not the traditional and conventional way of how organizations are run.
Mm. Who spearheads that though?
This needs to come right from the top. We need CEOs and C-suite that are spending more time out of their ivory towers and actually with real customers. Mm. We need strategists that are typically finance oriented, and I have a degree in finance, I like finance people, but they're typically the furthest removed from customers. It's normally the salespeople and customer service people that are interacting on a day-to-day basis with customers, and they have tons of insights. The difficulty, Howie, is most organizations are very bad at taking those insights, collecting them, and turning them into insights that they will action. They typically just don't really listen to their salespeople as well as they should, and they definitely don't react to it as well as they should. More customer-centric organizations would really prioritize that and react to things very, very quickly.
But you also have to start from, what are you looking for? What sort of answers are you looking for, if you will? What are the questions to ask to begin with?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why I go back to what I was mentioning earlier, that companies need to do a better job of understanding who are their customers and their different customer segments. Mm. What does value look like to those segments? What are the customer's perception of your ability to create value against their value drivers? And what's their perception of competitors creating value against those value drivers? I mean, if we have that as a start point, that there's a really a lot of, let's say, gap analysis which can be conducted, and that should be what really drives innovation, rather than just trying to push features and benefits and make things more technically savvy. That's not always the way to win customers.
Drill down to just the one thing that you'd advise companies to do today.
Great. Well, I would say it would start off with segmentation. How an organization looks at a market really determines how they will structure themselves to go to market, and how they're structured really depends on how much in and out, how much customer centricity they can incorporate in their organization. So the question is how do customers look at the market, or organizations look at the market, is fundamental. And most organizations really take a very conventional approach. Again, approaches that have been around since the 60s and 70s. And if that's their remaining view of how they look at markets, they're really being left in the product age, and they're not really ready for the future. I would be segmenting on their key value drivers and needs. So for example, would be jobs to do. I'm going to take an example. Let's just use a mobile phone. Some people never use a mobile phone to call. They just use it as a device to access the internet. And they say, well, actually, I don't even really care about call quality. Some people actually, they're using this as a camera and a video device, and that is their primary use. It might be the same product, but how it's being used by different segments, it doesn't matter what's the age of these people or income levels. It's what are they using this product and service for, and what are they trying to fulfill by this? And that really determines what value you want to create for them.
Well, thank you very much, AJ, for turning how some people might be running their companies on their heads today. AJ Bolins is the chair of the EGN Singapore Marketing Leaders Peer Group. AJ, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Howie.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.